Some of y'all getting so old you can't remember that song. You can sing it all the time. We had it in three different keys. And I could have went up one more, but I didn't want to really exhaust it. Yeah, you did. You did good, Jeff. You did really good. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. You know, I want to thank Clifton and Terry and Gene, Ron Plott. I locked him in. You know that. Clifton and Gene have businesses they have to get back to. Ron Plott had no excuse. All men have forsaken me, Paul said. But on Tuesday night, Clifton had to leave. That's okay. Thank you for letting us use your truck and the work you done at Anchor. And Terry and Clifton worked hard. Me and Ron worked a little bit. But they worked hard. Over 300 trucks, cars, and vans loaded with food. And they had to close the gate at Anchor at a certain time, and cars are still lined up. And they went 3 days a week getting stuff ready, or three days, and then 3 days a week putting it in vehicles. Getting it. Some families, some of the cars, some of the vans represented four families. And but anyway, thank y'all for the hard work you done. A little bit on the humor side that Terry had to go too, but Clifton got gone first. In the evening there after dark, and then Terry was getting ready to go, and I saw Ron packing, doing something. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm leaving. I said, no, you're not leaving. I was going to stay. I stayed, you know. I'm be honest with you, I saw some things that I don't know if I wanted you to, would want you to see or not, because I can't get it out of my mind. But Terry was getting ready to leave, and Ron was, they stayed in Sunday school, and Clifton and Terry kept telling me they played musical chairs through the night in a Sunday school room. There was two recliners, and Clifton said, I'd get up to get from the recliner in the floor, and Terry would be getting up to get out of the floor back in another recliner, and they just trying to get comfortable. I slept in a recliner, which was wonderful. I mean, I don't know why you don't. These guys are big guys, though. So Ron was getting ready to go. He was in a Sunday school room by himself, and I got to sleep in the pastor's study. And so there was a lock on that door, and Ron said he was leaving. I locked him in. And I got convicted about that, and I let him out. And then he left. And I called him the other day, and him and Susan, they were both on the, and I apologized to Ron. I said, I'm sorry that I locked in. But what a wonderful time. And I'll tell you something, a wonderful, and us guys were talking. You remember coming out from Anchor that night, and everything was funny, right? We laughed for a solid hour about something. I mean, you know, we'd cry or laugh and cry. But everything was funny. You remember that, Clifton? I mean, Terry got so tickled, he was running in the ditches trying to drive us home. But I saw some bravery that I've never seen. And I'll just say this and move on. But up at Spring Mountain Baptist Church, where Mark Shoemaker is the pastor, I was sitting out there in the sun at a picnic table, and three children were playing. And one was the pastor's son. The other was a young lady named Kelly that was lived right across the street from the church. And she was working in there and in the church. And one of the kids said, there's a bear. And I looked, and about as far from here to our church sign or less, about half the distance, there was a little fence behind the church where just the land went down like that in the woods. And there was a bear about this tall standing up, coming over that fence. I had my gun in the car, which was about as far as from here to Chick's house, and I froze. I mean, I'm thinking, I need to get my gun. One of the kids went in the church, and before I could even turn to get my gun, out came Super Mama. She was running, little old gal, a little skinny gal about this tall. She ran right in the face of that bear and said, "Get out of here!" And that bear got on it. And then she got a broom and started chasing it. "Let a bear robbed of her whelps," is the verse I gave her in Proverbs. So, and then it went on across and stopped and stood up, and its ears were about to, you know how they stick their ears up? And it had two cubs, two babies there with it, and they finally went on off. But I wish I could have pictured her, but not me. I would never have wanted anybody to see the shock on my face. But anyway, they was, and I told the guys, I said, when we get to heaven, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, ain't it? I mean, we were having a good time, and they were having a bad time. And I said, when we get to heaven, everybody talks about sitting down and rest when we get to heaven. You're not going to do no resting in a glorified body. It won't ever get tired. You're going to be given responsibilities to do things, just like you work in this church and you do things and work for the Lord. You're going to be given responsibility and leadership responsibility based upon your faithfulness, okay? Based upon your faithfulness. In Revelation chapter 21, and I really want to not carry this on till next Sunday, but I may do it. I don't know. But I just want to speak to you. And from the word of the Lord in Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." There was no more sea. I don't say that I know Hebrew or Greek. I've had 2 years with Greek, which was the challenge of my life. But I do look up words and their meanings, and the word sea means salt. In both references, in the Hebrew and the Greek, it means the salt place. I mean, sea is salt. We even have some of that on our table, I think, don't we? I just like salt. I like that kind of kills you. And you got something that's called no salt. Why even mess around with junk like that? And then you got sea salt. And the word sea means salt. The sea, what is it? 5/6 of the world or whatever? 4/5 or whatever it is of the world is oceans and seas. And it says there'll be no more sea. No more sea. I don't know. People have speculated that there'll be no more sea because there will be 1,000 years of population on this earth. Good to see you, Troy. I've been praying for you. I just now recognized you were here. That will compensate for the population of 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. But literally, there ain't going to be no more seas. I guess it might help you out because you won't never get to go to the beach again, take your clothes off and lay on the sand and fry like a piece of bacon. While some men are lusting everywhere they look. I've never have figured that out myself. I really haven't. Right. You say, yeah, we get in a secluded place. Okay, get in a secluded place. Okay, if there is one. That's all right. It's all right. No more sea. Wonderful. No more sea. You don't have to turn your Bibles to the places that I'm going to be mentioning. You can write down the reference if you want to later. But don't take the time to turn right now. Paul was on the ship headed towards Rome, and they got in a storm. And then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern. And you know what they did? They wished for the day. That's what the Bible says. It was dark in the storm. It's bad enough to be in a storm in the light, but when you get in a storm in the dark, you don't know what's happened. And those sailors were real brave because they went up. First of all, they put anchors out at the back of the ship. You don't ever put an anchor out at the back. You put it out at the front. If you put it out at the back, it's going to go down. They put it out. They put four at the back, and then they went up and acted like they was going to put four in the front, but they were really setting down a lifeboat that they were going to get out of there and leave everybody and let them die. And so Paul saw that, and he said, if any man leaves this ship, every one of you going to die. So they cut the ropes from the lifeboat and put out the anchor. And they wished for the day. All of this has spiritual application to you and I, but most of all, it has an application to our new friends in North Carolina. I saw one woman, and she came. We talked to a lot of people. You know that. I spent most of my time talking, didn't I, Terry? You know that. Ron Plott said over at Anchor, said Roger didn't even work. He stood there and talked for an hour before he started working. That's the truth. We were trying to find people that needed tree work done. We brought six saws or so, and another man that I met, a fine Pentecostal man and his wife, they become immediate friends. And we were calling, trying to find people. We got contacts. And nobody needed tree work. Till yesterday, a woman called me and said, I need some tree work. I said, sorry, ma'am. But our friends have been in the dark without electricity at night. You know, we just panic if electricity goes off during the day. Afraid we're going to lose everything we got stored up in our freezers. But you know, it might be good if we lost a little bit. I don't want storms to come. I don't want a storm. I don't want to be in a storm. I remember when I was a little boy, I was home by myself, and I was standing there looking out the front door, 1906 State Street, and it was a storm. And I was scared to death. They wished for the day. Hey, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record storms that the disciples and Jesus were in. All of them record storms. It's a little bit trying for me to figure out what's going on in each part, because some of the times it's Peter walking on the water. Some of the times it's not him walking on the water. It's not recorded. Some of the times Jesus is in the boat with them asleep on a pillow, not his. But he had a pillow. He was asleep. And some of the times they were in the storm and Jesus was up on the mountain and he saw. So you just really can't figure all that out. I guess some of the times you can say, Lord, you're asleep. Where are you? Why don't you help us? And then there's times when you, Lord ain't even in the boat, and you wonder where he is. But you're in a storm, in the night, in the dark. And these men were courageous men. These men were men, my friend, that were calloused and seaworthy and salty. And you better not mess with them. But God put them in a place where they were afraid and thinking they were going to die and thinking that God had forsook them. But he hadn't. I'm going to tell you, Wednesday night, y'all know Rush Jordan. I went up there at Mountain Spring Baptist Church. Mark Shoemaker is the pastor, and they had a guest preacher come in there. They got a lot of supplies. Their whole auditorium was full of supplies on the benches, and they had help putting them in tractor trailers to get them distributed. Y'all saw that up there. Y'all saw that. That's where we left a load, right? Did we leave a load at Mountains? Wherever we left it. I think we didn't, and we left one at Fellowship Baptist Church. So I walked in and I sat on the back because I was a little bit late for the service, and I saw a family and I thought, well, I think I know them. I was looking at the back of their heads, okay? You know, the back. And the kids got up and sung. And there's a boy about this tall. The last time I saw him, he was about this tall. I said, I know him. And then the preacher got up and he had on a beard. And he had on glasses. the black looking glass. And before I could say, "That's Russ Jordan," he said, "Roger Butler, where did you come from?" And we talked so late in the night. And before the men left, I saw grown men that had tried so much, you could tell that tears were coming in their eyes. And here's what two men told me. They said, "We're going to go home and we're going to try to sleep." Can you imagine that? In a storm. Every one of you, including myself, maybe not a physical storm, but what about a family storm? What about something that you have, like a physical storm? You have no control whatsoever over a storm in your life. All you can do is get a grip and hang on. That's all you can do. And pray. Sometimes you feel like God's asleep on you. Sometimes you feel like He ain't even there. God will see you through the storm. Psalm 107, I may get there later. I may. It says they go through a storm. It's they that venture out into deep waters, see the works of God. Most believers now are traveling so shallow that they don't ever see God working. But if you get out there in the deep, Psalm 107, you can read it later, it says, they that go out into the deep see the works of God. And at the end of that, and all of a sudden you go into a storm, and it talks about the storm, and then it says, they reach their desired haven. Okay, their desired haven. I got a little granddaughter now named Haven. And I think about that. One of these days, you and I will reach our desired haven. Some through our lives will go maybe for a haven for a while and then hell for a while. But one of these days, we're going to be in an eternal haven. Where? There will be no more sea. The sea is a dangerous place. There's places on earth, they talk about the last frontier is space. And then they say the last frontier is electricity. Think about what they're doing with electricity, man. Without electricity, some people would go completely crazy if they could not get their phones charged. Right. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? What did I do with my phone? My phone. Anybody ever done that? You think you can't live without your phone? Phone's become a god. But I saw grown men say, "We're going to go home and we're going to try going home." One thing about it, some people had no home to go to. But see, I don't want to get too far. I don't know, all this is just going to come out as it comes out. But some people didn't have a home to go to. Didn't have a bed to sleep on. I say this. All the preachers that I talked to, and I talked to several, had not seen hide nor hair of FEMA. Now, what I believe, I can't prove it, and I saw where President Trump landed in the disaster area. I saw that. They took me by there. And I heard that Biden flew over an airplane. I don't know, but Trump most definitely landed and went where the disaster was. But those men said, "We're going to try to sleep." You know, they call us social animals. I don't like to use the word so. We're social beings. We're social humans. And there's one girl, by the way, you see this jar of jelly? It's the best jelly I've ever ate in my life. And I'm sorry I don't have enough only for me. If you want some, Kathy's a diabetic, and I tempted her just to taste a little. It's the best jelly I've ever eaten in my life. The girl, the young lady, works for her brother and sister who own this jelly company. Best, very best jam. Imlidris Farms. You can get the website off this. You can order you some. You ought to do that. You know what she said to me? She gave me this jelly. She said I was trapped up there. And all I wanted to do was see a person. I wanted to see somebody. She was all by herself. Well, it's bad enough being storms, but it's bad to be by yourself. You know, we know that we're not alone. The song says never alone. But I'm going to tell you what. You said, well, the Lord's with you. You're alone. The Lord's with you. Yeah, but, you know, I'm not saying the Lord's not good enough, because He is. Because we need people. Sometimes you say, I can't share what's going on in my life. I can't do that. I got to keep it to myself. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you what, there is a time that you need to share. There is a time that you need to share. If you don't, you're really hurting yourself. But then there's times that if you sneeze, you don't have to tell anybody, well, I sneezed. You know, or I had a stomachache. But when you got a heartache, you need somebody to talk to sometimes. Well, one of the places in the gospel that says there arose a great storm of wind. Mark 4:37. There arose a great storm of wind. I mean, it was here and it came up. But listen to this one. In Luke 8:23, the Bible says there came down a storm of wind. Every direction. Up and down. Storms from beneath, storms from above. Where does the storm come from? It comes from God. I done preached some of that last Sunday. It comes from God. The design of the storm comes from God. The force of the storm, God allows nature to war with itself. For instance, the trade winds, which are north and south, our east and west trade winds that the sailors discovered that they could go back and forth across the sea, trade winds. But for some reason, God allows the winds to go to war with one another to make a storm and spiritually take a time to go in and come in and go opposite. We don't know for something. Is that all right? Force of a storm. Hey, something else in Luke and John 6:21. They were in the storm, and Jesus calmed the sea. And then the Bible says in verse 21, it says, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. I mean, just a miracle. Maybe they might have been right in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, which I think is 6 by 9 miles, I think that's right. We have to check me on that. But they might have been right like in the middle of it. And then all of a sudden, Jesus calmed the storm, and then, wow, they were right there on the other side. So Jesus said, let us go. There's something wonderful about that. But He said, we're going to get to the other side. If you believe God's word, you'll say, I can't get through this. I can't do this. I'm gone. It's history for me. But you got to remember that Jesus will get you to the other side. He said, we're going. He didn't say, you're going. He said, we're going. We will go to the other side. And He commanded them to get in that ship. He commanded them. So that was the will of God for them to follow His commandment. And you get in that direction and you'll say, I really don't want to head out that way. God said, look, that's what you've got to do. And you have no choice when you're out there and then you're following the will of God and you hit a storm, you say, Well, God told me to do this. And one thing I prayed, they asked me to pray to close that service Wednesday night. And you know, I didn't try to be hurtful to the people, but in my prayer, I remembered, and I remember that I said, Lord, help these people not to be bitter against you. We got conflicting news reports. The word I got from these people, the word I got earlier was that most damage was done in downtown Ashton. The word I got, that's not the case. And what I seen, not the case. The damage was done, and I wonder why. The good old country people, well, went to their church. Not all of them went to church. But I didn't see no rainbow flags flying nowhere where I went. And I was taken Wednesday by the pastor on a four-wheel truck as far as we could go. That's why, you know, I felt like I need to stay fifth, and I found out why I need to stay that in third, leaving Thursday. Then his son took me on that mule, that John Deere mule, in the places that I should get out of my. You know, I came home first Thursday night. It was 9. I got up the next morning, and I went out, and I looked at the trees. That was there. I looked at my bunk, my couch, my back of the and the wash house. And I did the concert. And you know, you heard the saying, out of sight, out of mind. I know day by day, you know, wear off on me. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people are getting up every morning, and they're looking at right across the street from the pastor lived on this side. On the other side, there's three houses that are, you can't even tell it's a house. That they, out of every place that is the pastor's life. And giant moon is trying to find its body, and this body is unwanted to tell it. Some others that I heard. Others I heard were trying to put up scared. The fence is yet there in. But why? The family was at their house, didn't know what it was. They found his body, 1/4 mile down the this bridge, found her body about 2 miles. And then I looked back, I looked over and I asked you, and what's really, really bothered me is why that those people have died. When Asheville's called the Little San Francisco, and it's affecting the town that my daughter lives in, that's now Sodomite, friend. Do you know what the girl that gave me this jelly said, the woman, when we were talking about that, me and the preacher were wondering why did these people, why did they have to leave church? And this girl that they own this jelly company, she said minimal damage in fashion. Major damage out in the food. You know what she said to me, and it made a lot of sense. She said, God, there is the final target. Oh, that's good. I understand what she's saying. But how would a grandma, knowing her grandkids got swept away, deal with that? That's God just to, that's for you. And they get up, and I get up and look at my place, and everything's normal. And they get up, and they walk outside, and it won't be normal for years. Unless it's some kind of real spirit, you know, body in his arm, and they had a service at the cemetery with the other part of her body. And he told me, weeping, a pastor, I'm talking about not here, I'm talking about here in Marshall County, and he said, I'm mad at God. He said, and I said, Ricky, you know, there's no need for me to tell you and talk to you and give you, because you know, he said, you're a pastor, you know. And he said, maybe one day I won't be mad at God. Do you see how we need to pray for those people? We need to pray for them. And I believe that you have. The force of the storm is designed by God. The focus of the storm. The focus is, you got the gun, you're going to take aim, and where are you going to shoot the storm? That's in God's hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in man's hands. No man can control a storm. No man. The fear of a storm. Got to lighten up just a little bit, and I got to stop quickly. I knew a lady, she's a friend of mine, who was afraid of storms. If they had a storm, if they had a tornado in Mississippi, and she lived in central Alabama, she was afraid of the tornado. And then she called her son-in-law, who was even further east, and said, in the middle of the night, there's a tornado coming. And I don't mean to be offensive, but some of y'all know who that was. I'm afraid of a storm. Do you think? I'll tell you how afraid of a storm I am. Because when the tornado comes and my kids and wife is in the closet, I stand on the front porch and say, I'm going to see which way it's coming. That's stupid of me. I don't want to die of claustrophobia in a closet. I figure I got time to take a dive into the closet. That's stupid. That's crazy. You can't hide from a storm. When God puts the sights on your home, your house, your family, your heart, your lives, your well-being, when everything's going good, there's going to be a storm coming and you can't stop it. It's unpreventable. It's unpredicted. It's unwanted. And that storm comes into your life. The fear of a storm. When? What? God designed it. And you can't blame God, because God said right there in Psalm 107, you can read it later, it says, they that sail out into deep waters see the work of God. And then all of a sudden a storm comes, and they're in a storm. And at the last few verses it says, then they reach their desired haven. It's hard to praise God in a storm. It's hard. It's hard. You can't hide from a storm. And so, boy, I'm going to call him Jim, okay? I can't remember all the names. Jim was going up on that mule up that road. You call it a road. The road was washed. The pavement was over here. A new road. The pavement used to be over here. And now there's a road here they made. And down here's a place you don't want to go. Oh, we need a parachute right there. And we got up there, and there's a house up there. No, boy, come out. Pretty nice house. His buildings were damaged. They were shifted and torn. And he was a contractor from California. And you know what he said to me? And he was in good spirits. He said, I just had to move my truck out of that shed that would have been destroyed there and my tools. He is making some arrangements. And then two buildings got disastered. And the mud come right up against his house and stopped. And he walked me around. And he said, I lived in California, Daniel. And he said, that out there in California. And he said, I did a labor of love and built my sister a house and helped my brother build his house. And I had a house. And he said, the fire came and burnt my sister's and brother's house down, both houses. And he told his wife, he said, we're going to go somewhere where it rains all the time. Hurricane. You can't run from a storm. That's what Jonah did. Oh, yeah. I'd rather be in the storm as in a belly of a whale any day of the week. Hadn't you? In Job 21, I'm just going to read a little bit. I think I'm running myself late. Y'all always worried about me running y'all late. I'm worried about me running me late. So y'all set at ease. Job 21. I think I got the right chapter here. They are as stubble before the wind and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see the destruction, his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in his midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down like the dust, and the worms shall cover them. God help me, and God help these people. Job 27. The east wind carrieth him away, and he disheartedeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. The east wind carrieth him away. Oh. I don't really know what to say next. No more seed. Why are the innocent killed? You can run, but you can't hide. I thought about something with this jelly, and I thought about the fruit of the storm. Now listen very, 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 very carefully. You saw those fields, Gene. They were wasted. Those crops were wasted. Well, only a farmer would know how that hurts. We saw tomatoes and stobs where they had tomatoes. And you know what them other fields were? I found out blueberries. This company, from what I understand, don't own blueberry fields, but they purchased blueberries, as from what I understand. But in this case, these farmers, you go buy a blueberry at the store. Little Kathy buys them boxes of blueberries, and you can munch on them. They lost those crops. They were not usable to sell in little boxes, but they were still there. And they were basically ruined. But these people that owned this company went and bought those damaged blueberries, and they're making jelly out of them. So I thought about the fruit of the storm. I thought about something that I was trained in business, that with every adversity, there's an equal or greater opportunity if you'll just look. So they paid for the blueberries that the farmer thought they'd lost, and then they're making jelly out of the damaged blueberries. But then I thought about this. What's the fruit of my disaster? What happens to me in a storm? What kind of fruit do I have as a Christian? You know, there's cases where there ain't no fruit at all in a disaster. There's nothing to turn it around. To turn it around, there's nothing. You just have to deal with it. You just have to do something else or move somewhere else. And that's sad. Because in this place that I can't get out of my mind, I don't see no fruit, no factory, no selling the field. The field ain't even there. This is on the outskirts where we saw all of that, Gene. The finality of the storm. Revelation 1, it says, there shall be no more sea. A sea is unknown, unsearched, unpredictable. One day it's glass. It's just like glass. That's when I want to go deep sea fishing, Jeff. If you can guarantee me that sea is going to be glass. And get an extra motor. And have a radio where I can call the rescue people. Okay, and have a lifeboat, and have a life jacket. It's unpredictable. It's glass one day, it's chaos the next. The trade winds become at war with one another. There'll be no more storm. I like what Brother Allen said, the way he interpreted this, as he said, and it's a good application. He said, there'll be no more sea, and that means there'll be no more separation, because we're separated. We're separated from our European descendants or wherever we came from. We're separated from those original people. So the sea does separate. But the way I'm looking at it and the application that I'm using is somewhere out there right now, or somewhere on the ocean at particular times, God stirs up the wind. You ever seen those little tornadoes on the water? Water spouts or whatever? Somewhere, God will design a storm out there. Unknown, unseen by man. And then it's picked up by the new methods of... See, you have to feel for those ancient people that didn't have a weather report. They looked at their cows. I look at my cows. If they're laying down, it means it's going to rain. If half of them's laying down, it's a 50% chance.
Somewhere, start unknown by man's wider devices, and then it gets hidden from the sea. And then they try to tell what direction it's going. And they do their best. They're in here. You have to call it. It's never happened here, Tommy. Since we're finding people that are alive, maybe your family's alive. Never question the why did God exist? Because he's God. I bring it down to our life for me. That God, you know, that's the divine. I'm just in the story. I don't want to blame you. I don't want to emphasize the fact. I want to move on with life.